भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 8 एंटाइटल्ड विड्रॉल ऑफ द कॉस्मिक क्रिएशंस, चैप्टर 22 एंटाइटल्ड बलि महाराज सरेंडर्स हिज लाइफ, वर्स नंबर 4। पुंसां श्लाघय तमं मन्ये दण्डम् अर्हतमार्पितम् यम न माता पिता भ्राता सुदश्चादिशन्ति हि। पुंसां श्लाघय तमं मन्ये दण्डम् अर्हताम् अर्पितम् यम न माता पिता भ्राता सुदश्चादिशन्ति हि। पुंसां श्लाघय तमं मन्ये दण्डमर्हतमार्पितम् यम न माता पिता भ्राता सुदश्चादिशन्ति हि। पुंसां श्लाघय तं मन्ये दण्डम् अर्हमार्पितम् यम न माता पिता भ्राता सुदश्चादिशन्ति हि। पुंसां श्लाघय तं मम मन्ये दण्डम् अर्हतामार्पितम् यम न माता पिता भ्राता सुहृदश्चादिशन्ति हि। पुंसां श्लाघय तं मम मन्ये दण्डम् अर्हतम् अर्पितम् यम न माता पिता भ्राता सुदश्चादिशन्ति ते। पुंसां श्लाघय तं मन्ये दण्डम् अर्हतम् अर्पितम् यम न माता पिता भ्राता सुदश्चादिशन्ति हि। माता जी, पुंसां श्लाघयता मम मन्ये दण्डम् अर्हतमार्पितम् यम न माता पिता भ्राता सुदश्चादिशन्ति हि। पुंसां ऑफ मेन श्लाघय तमम द मोस्ट एक्सॉल्टेड मन्ये आई कंसीडर दंडम पनिशमेंट अर्हतम मार्पितम गिवन बाय यू द सुप्रीम वर्शिपेबल लॉर्ड यम विच न नाइदर माता मदर पिता फादर भ्राता ब्रदर सुहृद फ्रेंड च also Adishanti offer. He indeed. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Although a father, mother, brother or friend may sometimes punish one as a well-wisher, they never punish their subordinate like this. But because you are the most worshipable Lord, I regard the punishment you have given me as most exalted. Purport. Punishment meted out by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is accepted by the devotee as the greatest mercy. Tatte anukampam su samikshamano gunjana evatma kritam vipakam hidakvag vapurbir vidadhan namaste jiveta yo mukti padesa dayabhak. One who seeks your compassion and thus tolerates all kinds of adverse conditions due to the karma of his past deeds, who engages always in your devotional service with his mind, words and body, and who always offers obeisances to you, is certainly a bona fide candidate for liberation. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.8. A devotee knows that so-called punishment by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is only his favor to correct his devotee and bring him to the right path. Therefore, the punishment awarded by the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be compared to even the greatest benefit awarded by one's material father, mother, brother, or friend. Om Agyan Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Itinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 22, Verse Number 4. Translation. Although a father, mother, brother or friend may sometimes punish one as a well-wisher, they never punish their subordinate like this. But because you are the most worshipable Lord, I regard the punishment you have given me as most exalted. Hare Krishna. So, we have been discussing the pastime of Lord Vamandev, who appears to Bali Maharaj and feeds him in the name of three-step charity. In two steps, he takes away everything Bali Maharaj possesses, which is equal to the three worlds. So then, Vamandev says, Bali Maharaj, you cheated me. You promised 3 steps. But whatever you had is over in 2 steps. So you cheated me. So because you cheated me, I will arrest you. I will punish you. And he bound him with the ropes of Varuna. Who cheated whom? Bali Maharaj responded, saying that I should not be known as a cheater, that too to a Brahmana. So you have covered everything in 2 steps. But by logic, the owner of the property is higher than the property. If there is a costly diamond, extremely costly, in my pocket, then I am more costly. Right? Because I am the owner of that diamond, so I am more costly. That's why devotees who conquer Krishna, they are more costly than Krishna. There was one boy who wanted to meet me, but several days he called, he came, but somehow it didn't happen. But of course he came, took darshan and went. He said, Prabhuji, nowadays you are more busy than Radharas Bihari. This is not to say in that way. Pure devotees who conquer Krishna, who possess Krishna, they are more costly. They are great. They are Mahan. Mahan Atma. Mahatma. They are great. Like Yashoda Maya or Srimati Radhikara. They are very great. So Bali Maharaj says, I am the possessor. You have taken my possession. 3rd step is remaining. You put it on my head. You have not taken me yet. You put it on my head. What a charity. But much greater than that of giving himself is this sloka, wherein Bali Maharaj is expressing his inner thought that what you have done with me, asking 3 steps in a short form and then taking everything in 2 steps and binding with the ropes of Varuna, ordinarily it will appear to be a big cheating and punishment. But Bali Maharaj says, what you have done to me is greatest welfare, which even mother, father, friend, brother, and any other well-wisher cannot give. Now this is quite different from a general common response of a person who is punished, who is in pain. In Bhagavad Gita, after Arjuna initially expresses his sentiment of why not to fight, Krishna responds with a very famous word, Deosmin Yatha Dehe, that the body keeps changing, the soul does not change. You are not this body. So then the Arjuna is asking question, I am not this body, I am soul, somebody is going to hit arrow to the body, not to the soul. But still I feel pain. What is this? If I tell you, you are not this table, and somebody cuts the table and you feel pain, what is this then? Somebody is going to hit arrow in my body, I am not the body, but still there will be the experience of pain. So what to do with this pain? And what does Krishna say? Next verse. Titikshavat Bharata. Tolerate. So Krishna's instruction of how we should respond to pain is tolerate. Tolerating pain. What is the benefit of tolerating pain? The highest benefit of tolerating pain is Daya Bhak, which means on death, the person inherits the kingdom of God. On death, Lord Brahma says that one who tolerates pain, knowing or thinking well that this pain is because of my previous karma, and at the same time continues to offer obeisances to Krishna. Thank you, Krishna. Such a person inherits the kingdom of God. Same as a son inherits the father's property on the death of father, the sadhaka inherits liberation on his death. The highest benefit of tolerance is spiritual growth. So, this prayer by Lord Brahma is making us understand that one devotee should take responsibility of his pain. When we consider somebody else responsible for our pain, it is extremely difficult to tolerate. But when we take responsibility of our own pain, it is extremely easy to tolerate. For example, if in a well-furnished house a child is playing and he breaks a costly glass item, what will mother's response? She will be angry and she will chastise. She will tell the child, how many times I told you not to play inside the house? Take your ball and go out. Because a costly item is broken. She will then become angry, she will chastise, she will be upset, then she will clean and okay. Suppose, in a different scenario, the mother is cleaning the house and the same item breaks. What will mother do? Nothing. No anger, no chastisement, no punishment. She will just clean and okay, life goes on. So in the first scenario, the anger, the chastisement came because the responsibility of loss was somebody other than me. In the second scenario, there was no anger and chastisement because I am responsible for this loss and nobody punishes self. Nobody punishes himself or herself. So that's responsibility of pain. If I have an experience of pain in life, it is because of me. Pain is response of nature to my karma. Because some impious activity I did in my previous life, that became a seed. And today,
in appropriate circumstances that seed bore a fruit, and that fruit is an experience of pain. So what should I do? I should just tolerate. So this is very important, to take responsibility of our pain. Nobody whom we claim to blame can give us pain unless our karma fructifies it. Nobody can give. If suppose today 2 p.m. afternoon, my one of the previous karma is going to fructify to give me pain, then at 2 p.m., wherever I am and whoever is around me, I will get pain. Whoever is around me will become instrument of that pain. If I am in the ashram at 2 p.m., somebody may shout at me, insult me. If I am on the road, some car may hit me. If I am in the washroom, I may slip over water. Then I will complain to temple commander, who spilled water here? Arey, every day there is water there. Today I fell. Why? Because of water? No. Because of 2 p.m. Yesterday 2 p.m. it didn't fructify. Today 2 p.m. it fructified. So generally we are with our near and dear ones, not with our strangers. Right? Generally we are with those people whom we know, whoever we are, our friends, close people. So most of the time we are with them. So they become instruments of pain because most of the time we are with them. So we think they are not good. Strangers are so nice. Visitors of the temples are so nice. They come, they fold their hands, they pay dandavat pranam. So nice. But congregation is so nice. Brahmacharis, you know. But aray, whole day you are with them, so they will become instruments of your pain. It's obvious, with whoever you stay most of the time, they become instruments of your pain, the probability is higher. So it's because of 2 p.m., because my karma fructified. So we should be tolerating. Trinadapi suni chena, taror iva shahi suna. We should tolerate like a taror. What is taror? Tree. How does tree tolerate? When you cut a branch of a tree, what happens? The tree doesn't respond, doesn't complain, doesn't shout, doesn't scream, doesn't ask you question. But a very beautiful thing happens. At the same point, another branch grows. The growth of the tree continues. So when we tolerate, our growth, our spiritual growth should continue. If our spiritual growth is not continuing by our tolerance, then that is not tolerance, that is cowardice. Tolerance is in mode of goodness. But if by tolerance spiritual growth is not continuing, that tolerance is in mode of ignorance. Like cleanliness. Cleanliness is in mode of goodness. Tolerance is in mode of goodness. So I come to the temple hall and I see very uncleanliness. And I say, I should tolerate. Such a nice class today I heard. I should tolerate. So tolerating uncleanliness is not mode of goodness. It is mode of ignorance. So tolerating an event or a relationship which is abusive, exploitative, manipulative doesn't give spiritual growth. So that tolerance is not mode of goodness. That tolerance is not taroriva shahisuna. That's cowardice. The goal of life is not to tolerate. The goal of life is to grow in spiritual life. Humility and tolerance help us to grow. But if we are in mode of ignorance, then that tolerance will not help us. We tolerate not because we can't respond. Like Ekadashi. Ekadashi, we don't eat grains. Why? Because we don't have stock of grains. Because we don't have stamina to digest grains. That's not true. We have grains in our godown. We have stamina to digest. But we choose not to eat grains. Why? Because by not eating grains, I grow in spiritual life on Ekadashi day. That's the reason we don't eat grains. Similarly, when there is pain, can't I respond? Can't I show my strength? Can't I give a complaint? Can't I express myself? Can't I shout? Can't I be violent? Yes, you can be. The reason we are not doing it is by not doing it, by tolerating, we grow in spiritual life. So it's not that I don't have stamina, I don't have opportunity. I have, but I'm avoiding it because I want to grow in spiritual life. It is different when you are staying among devotees, practicing Krishna consciousness, and staying among other people, not practicing Krishna consciousness. Our etiquette is to tolerate, not because we are not brave, but because we want to grow spiritually. So just as if we offer a mango to Radha Rasbihari, what does he do? He eats it and gives it back as prasad. It is no longer an ordinary mango. It is prasad. When we eat an ordinary mango, we get sweet taste and sinful reaction. Right? When we eat prasad mango, we get sweet taste and sweet mercy. Right? In the same way, when we offer our life to Krishna, all our karmas are also offered to Krishna. What does Krishna do? He gives us back. Same karma he gives us back as prasad. So the karma phala, the reaction of karma, is still painful. But because it's prasad, it purifies us. You saw the difference? Okay, if I offer karela to Radha Rasbihari, what happens? He gives it back. It is still bitter only. If anybody has hopes that it will become sweet, come down. It is still bitter only. But by eating that piece of bitter karela, I get purified because it's also prasad. Bitter prasad. It's also prasad, mercy. The mercy element in karela and the mercy element in mango is same. No different. The taste is different, but the mercy is same. In the same way, when our life is offered to Krishna, the pain which we receive in our life because of previous karma is Krishna's prasad, which is still painful, which is still bitter. But now what is happening is, I am getting purified. A person not in Krishna consciousness, when he experiences pain, he is not getting purified because he has not offered that life to Krishna. We are getting purified. He is getting further entangled. We are getting disentangled. If you are walking on the road and a person walking before you is carrying an iron rod, not to beat you, don't worry. Continue imagining. Carrying an iron rod. And by mistake, he comes back suddenly and the iron rod hits you. So you'll have pain. So you go to doctor. Doctor takes a needle and gives you injection. You'll have pain. Both the pains are there. Which pain cured you? Huh? first one, both pain cured you. This was doctor from a local hospital. This was Radha Raj Bihari. This is visible, this is invisible doctor. Before the iron rod touched you, suppose you had 100 karmas. After the iron rod touched you, you have 99 karmas. One is gone. Right? Liberation will occur when there are 0 karmas. So one reduced, that's cured. Or if you slap that person, again it becomes 100 karma. But if you don't do anything, you are at 99. Account is reduced. When it becomes 0, you go back home, back to Godhead. So whatever happens with us, coming from Krishna is good for us. Krishna is all auspicious, all good. That's what he is saying. Your punishment is most exalted. Even from devotees, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is an episode where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is dancing in front of Jagannath Rath cart. Very in ecstasy. Lakhs of people are there, seeing his dancing, he is jumping up and down, and tears are flowing from his eyes, and perspiration and trembling, and he's falling down, and the people are thinking now his bones will break, so hard he falls on the floor. So just that crowd is not disturbing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dance, they form a circle around Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And who takes care of this circle is Lord Nityananda. Requires lots of strength to take care. Balramji. So then Srivas Pandit and others form a second circle, so that even this circle is not disturbed by the crowd, so that they can do their service. Then King Prataprudra with his ministers and bodyguards form the third circle, so that even these devotees are not disturbed. So there is one Harichandra, Harichandan, is with King Prataprudra. But because of these two circles, Prataprudra is not able to see the dance. So what does king do? He puts his hand on the shoulder of Harichandan and keeps jumping to see the dance. We do that, right? Small children also do that. They keep jumping. So he puts his hands on the shoulder of Harichandan and jumps to see the dance. But in between, Srivas Pandit, he is also dancing. And he is just before Prataprudra. So King Prataprudra is not able to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because Srivas Pandit is not, you know, quite fixed in his spot. So Harichandan, who wants to serve King Prataprudra, he pushes Srivas Pandit little bit. Because you can't speak there. So much sound is there. But Srivas Pandit keeps dancing. So many times he pushes. Srivas Pandit gets irritated. He says, "Who is pushing me again and again?" He turns back and slaps Harichandan. Jor se, kaan ke peech. Harichandan got disturbed. Said, "He slapped me." He is about to speak something to Srivas Pandit. Prataprudra stop. He says, "Harichandan, you are fortunate. You got slap of Srivas Pandit." So this is. Even Shivanand Sen, he used to take a whole yatra from Bengal to Jagannath Puri, Mayapur to Jagannath Puri. And once Nityananda Prabhu was accompanying. And he would have Nityananda Prabhu's prasad, Nityananda Prabhu's guest room, room, accommodation, etc. And he would pay for everything. So one day the party reached a particular location and Shivanand Sen didn't reach because there was some issue with the toll tax officer. So he was sorting that out, making payments. And Nityananda Prabhu reached here, it was afternoon, prasad was not ready, accommodation was not ready. He got very angry. And when Shivanand Sen came, Nityananda Prabhu was so angry, he kicked him. He said, "Where is my rice?" He kicked him. And he told Shivanand Sen's wife, who was pregnant at that time with their child, that "Your child will die." Nityananda Prabhu cursing, your child will die. And the wife started crying. He said, Nityananda Prabhu cursed me. What kind of... We are doing service, free service, voluntary service, and this is happening. And Sivananda said, we are very fortunate that he kicked us. He was very happy. So Bali Maharaj, he is in a situation where Vamandev has arrested him and taken everything away. But he is feeling delighted, feeling elated, he is feeling happy. Because at least some reciprocation has happened. Minimum. More than that, by this Bali Maharaj is purified. Later on, when Krishna meets Bali Maharaj in Sutalok, once Krishna Balaram went to meet Bali Maharaj in Sutalok. So Bali Maharaj offered his prayer. He said, my dear Krishna, I am a demon from a demonic family. Demon blood is going in my veins, mostly in ignorance and passion. Still I get to see you today. This is nothing but your causeless mercy. There is no my qualification and eligibility. And my dear Lord, one thing today I want to express to you. That whole world in the history has seen that whenever there is fight between demigods and demons, you take demigod's side. Vishnu always takes demigod's side. The whole world knows you are partial with demigod. But today, I want to express the reality that you are partial to demon. Bali Maharaj says this. That the world thinks you are partial to demigods because in every war you take side of demigod. Because there is not a single war in which Krishna took side of demon. He fought with Indra. But today I want to express that you are partial to demon. How? It's like this. War 1. Indra, demon 1. They both fight. Vishnu goes to Indra's side, kills the demon. The demon goes back home back to God, Indra goes to Swargaloka. War 2. Same Indra, demon 2. Vishnu again comes, kills the demon, demon goes back home back to God, Indra again goes to Swargaloka. War 3. Whole khandan of demon is liberated and Indra is still sitting in cycle of birth in this. Whole family of demon, generation after generation, goes back home back to God and Indra is still sitting protecting his throne. Who is getting benefit? Demon. So Krishna is partial to demon, but appears he is partial to demigod. So is that punishment? This is highest welfare activity. This is great benefit. They don't have to do Mangal Aarti, 16 rounds, 4 regulative principles, and they are getting liberated. Indra has to do all this and he is sitting here. Amazing, that causeless mercy. We don't adopt that. Very difficult to become a good demon. Only if you are a good demon, Krishna will come and kill you. Otherwise, somebody else will kill you. Then you will not go back home, back to God. So Krishna, he is giving benefit. Whenever Krishna reciprocates, all good, all auspicious, sarva shubhada, any contact with Krishna, any reciprocation of Krishna, with a devotee, with a conditioned soul, with a person, is auspicious for that person. It cannot be inauspicious. Whether it is an experience of pain, experience of loss, or experience of pleasure, experience of profit. Whatever experience it may be, it's immaterial. Whatever Krishna does is good for us. A father, a mother, a brother, a friend, they can't do this because they will be emotionally attached an emotional attachment develops weakness of heart, and a person who develops weakness of heart cannot give permanent welfare to others. For example, if a good surgeon is there and he has to operate his own child, it will be difficult because there is weakness of heart due to emotional attachment. Our brother, father, no brother, father or well-wisher will take away somebody's whole property and then mind him with ropes. Nobody can do that. Krishna can do that. Krishna can give us permanent loss. He can make us disabled. He can make us handicapped. He can make us animal in next life. Any brother, father, any well-wisher can do that. Even if the brother, father thinks that becoming handicapped for this person is good, but still they will not be able to administer it. They will not be able to do it. But Krishna can do that, but at the same time give us shelter. Even in animal body, He stays as Paramatma in our heart. He gives us shelter. Because there is no weakness in heart of Krishna. Krishna's heart, there is no weakness. So whatever Krishna does is good. And the earlier we realize it, the more we are dependent on Him. The more we are satisfied with the reciprocation we are getting from Him. Whatever happens in our life, as we are on the path of surrender, we should accept it as Krishna doing it. And we should be happy. We should be thankful. Difficulties come, challenges come, and we should know Krishna has sent these difficulties and challenges for my spiritual growth. So by tolerating them, by responding to them in a Krishna conscious way, I will grow in spiritual life. Our understanding of growth is no challenges. Whatever desires I have, they should be successful. But by going through obstacles, we become mature. Gold becomes pure by going through fire. So by going through obstacles, we become strong. By going through challenges, we become strong. You know, small butterfly, when it just comes out of, first is caterpillar, then butterfly. So before developing wings, they are in a body. Before developing wings. And there is a big struggle to come out of that cage. Big struggle to come out of that cage. So one boy in the garden saw the insect struggling. So thinking that such a small kid is struggling, he went and broke the body. And as a result, the insect could never fly in life. Why? Because by the struggle with the walls of the body, all the fluid of the body goes into the wings, and that is how the wings develop. But if there is no struggle, the fluid of the body does not go in the wings, and the wings don't develop and cannot fly. So whatever struggle is there in our life is for us to grow in spiritual life. Everything happens is for our growth. All 33 crore demigods will help us to grow in spiritual life if we are sincere. So we should understand this. There was a farmer, he was sleeping at night and his sleep was disturbed because his donkey was shouting, braying. And the farmer said, "What happened to this donkey? He's reciting his poems at night." So he came out in his field and he saw the donkey has fallen in a well, dry well, no water. And donkey cannot come out on the own. The donkey is shouting. Midnight. Farmer said, "This is too much now. To pull this donkey out is not easy." Then he thought, "This donkey is so old, I don't need. This well is also dry. I don't need. So let me make a samadhi here. So he called few of his neighbors and said, help me to put sand in this well. And they all started putting sand in the well. What happened? The donkey will die now because the sand will cover it. But donkey was smart. I'm not joking. So what happened? Whenever the sand was coming on his body, he will shake his body. Then the sand will fall down and he will step on the sand. Gradually, what happened? He started coming up, and eventually he came out and ran away. So the very sand which was going to kill the donkey, bury in the well, became a staircase for him to come out. So the very challenge in life which has come to bury us actually becomes an opportunity for us to grow in spiritual life. If we respond to that challenge in a Krishna conscious way, which is Trinadapi Sunichena Taro Riva Shaisona. The same challenge, if we tolerate pain, will grow in spiritual life. That's 100% sure, because we are following the instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we are tolerating. So as response to our tolerance, the Lord gives us spiritual growth. That's true. So tolerance is very essential. We always hear this. If spiritual growth is a staircase, humility is the first step. What is this? Humility is the first step. What is the second step? That's tolerance. Second step is tolerance. So by tolerating, we change our life. By giving such response that we tolerate pain, by taking responsibility of pain, we change our life. Because Krishna, he starts giving fruits to our tolerance. We grow in spiritual life. And we see, we just read Prahlad Maharaj's example. Every time he was tortured and attempted to be killed, he tolerated and continued his bhakti. He didn't do anything else. He tolerated and continued his bhakti. And he got so much. Pandavas, they tolerated so many things. Kunti Maharani. So we just tolerate pain, knowing well it's our responsibility, and we continue our bhakti. We get kingdom of God. We get Krishna. We go back home, back to God. Krishna can take care of us. Whatever he does with us, he continues to keep us in his shelter. So he can take care of us. I long back read a story in which there was a handicapped boy. He didn't have right hand. And he wanted to learn karate. But without right hand, how can he learn karate? But he was very eager. So he went to a local karate master. He said, sir, I want to learn karate, but I don't have a right hand. He said, no problem. Next month my new batch is starting, you come. I take 30 students, you come. So he came, he took admission, 30 students, 29 normal, both the hands, one only left hand. So he started teaching them. So this handicapped boy, he taught him one move with the left hand. And he told him, you practice for 3 months. And to others, he went through the regular syllabus. So after 3 months, all the 29 boys knew 10 moves of karate. This fellow knew only one move of karate. So he was a little concerned, you know, I paid money and what is happening? So he went to the master and he said, you taught me only one move. All my other classmates learned 10 moves. I also want to learn flying kick and kickboxing and other things. Master said, that time will come. Your next assignment is, you continue the same move for 3 more months. Like this, 1 year gone by. All other students learned 40 moves. And he learned only one move. So after 1 year, he came to the school and there was a notice board. Notice. The local karate championship. And who all were participating in that list, his name was also there. He got afraid. He went to the master, he said, My name is on the list. They will kill me. I don't know anything. He said, don't worry, you just go. So he went to the championship. First few rounds were just simple boys and games, so it got clear. The final was a heavy champion, tall, stronger, 3-year-old expert. He was 1 year. So the match started and this handicapped boy got lot of beating. Because he was a champion, he hit him like anything. So the referee said, this is not good, we should stop this match. The teacher said, no, let one more round happen. So in the next round, the heavyweight champion was now already so expert, he was beating him. He did a mistake. He was a little less alert. And this fellow got a chance and he had only one move, he hit him and knockout. He got defeated. And this fellow won the championship. He was surprised. So while returning, he asked the master, I don't understand, how did I win the championship? I knew only one move. So the master replied two things. He said, first thing is, because you practiced that move for 12 months, that move was your expertise. Nobody had that much expertise because nobody practices that move in 12 months, for 12 months duration. So your punch was very, very strong and he got knockout. And the second important thing he said is that the only known defense for your move is to catch the opponent's right hand. The only known defense for your move is to catch the opponent's right hand. And you didn't have a right hand, so that fellow got confused what to do. So he couldn't defend himself, he knocked out. So what was his challenge? Gave him a benefit, became his strength. So we all are individuals with our own strength, weakness, challenges, opportunities. We don't have to worry. We just surrender to Krishna. Do our best. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, doesn't matter. Animal, cow, doesn't matter. We do our best service to Krishna. Attitude is more important. Sincerity is more important. Faith is more important. Dedication and dependence is more important. Whatever service we do it best. For Krishna. And Krishna is pleased. He helps us. Sitting in our heart, he helps us. And we grow forward. We should not compare ourselves with what society expects from individuals or what individuals are doing. They may have different strengths and different weaknesses, different opportunities, different challenges. We do our best. And in that way, we grow in spiritual life. So whatever Krishna does with us is all good. All auspicious. Thank you, Lord. Like a doctor prescribes medicine. Whatever is prescribed is good, even if it is known as poison. Doctors do prescribe poison. Do you know that? They do prescribe poison. But we happily take. We purchase and take poison. We don't forget to take that. Because we know it's going to cure us. You go to somebody's house and they say, poison or water? Tea or coffee, poison or what? We say, no, how can I take poison? But doctor prescribes, we take, because it cures. Poison is also necessary to cure. So in the same way, whatever Krishna prescribes, we should accept. Okay? We'll end here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna. Yes. Mike.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for
Hare Krishna.
Nice class. So this this Tatyanu Kampam, that consciousness is really amazing. And sometimes it's like we just salute such kind of devotees like Pandavas and but then when it comes to our life, that generally One thing is that inspiration is there, we want to go there. But then, how we start from our life to go there, if there is some kind of...
Yeah, what we can do is, initial stages, I know you are not on initial stages, but let me respond. We delay our response. If there is pain and I should be responding immediately, I delay it, I'll do it tomorrow. So at least 24 hours I tolerate it. I'm not talking bodily pain. So we delay. It's called delay gratification. We delay our response. Delay gratification. We delay our response. The next day, the reaction and response will be much different than the first day when it was on immediate notice. It will be much different. More mode of goodness will get involved in it. So we do that. We delay our responses. That's one thing to do. Take shelter of Bhagavatam, read more, and then respond. We'll definitely change our response after we read and chant and then respond. Definitely we will change. So that's one way to do it. If we keep on hearing this, we will develop maturity, which will involve humility and tolerance. We keep on hearing and practicing. So then we come to this stage. This is not a skill. Those Pandavas and Brahma, they are not having skills of tolerance. It is not a skill, it is a quality which one has by appropriate practice. So we keep practicing our sadhana, we'll develop this. Everybody has their own limit of tolerance. We can't tell one devotee to have same limit as other devotee. Somebody may limit for 1 hour, somebody may limit for 1 year. Somebody may stand on the bus stop and the bus is not coming, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, he'll take an auto. Somebody may stand for 2 hours and not take an auto. Both have different limits. Right? So we all have limits. So we go till our limit. By practicing sadhana, our limits increase. So we go till our limit and we practice our bhakti. Okay?
Prabhuji.
Yes. Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, you explained that there was always fight in between demons and demigods. And Krishna took side always to the demigods. But when the Prahlad Maharaj became the emperor, that time Prahlad Maharaj gave the heavenly planets for the demigods. They can stay in their orbit and do service to Krishna. And Yaksha, Kinnar, Gandharvas, they were given the sky. They can stay in the sky and serve Krishna. And the demons, they stay in the Patal Loga and they can serve Krishna, and without fighting, they could live happily, peacefully.
Yes, very nice.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
You mentioned in your class that sometimes if you are in abusive relationships, if you tolerate, then it is not in mode of goodness. But actually if you see that Prahlad Maharaj was in an abusive relationship with his father, but he never protested. And Srila Prabhupada's sister also, she was in a very much abusive relationship with her husband. Then Srila Prabhupada praised her. She served her husband so nicely that at one point of time, her husband understood, oh, this lady has so much love for me, even though I am so bad, she is serving me. So he also became a devotee. So, like that.
Yeah. I also mentioned with it that abusive relationship, if it is not giving spiritual growth, then we should not tolerate. If it is giving spiritual growth, then that tolerance is mode of goodness. But somebody is not allowing you to grow spiritually, that abuse is not acceptable. Especially in our circumstances, the audience sitting here. If somebody is telling, don't chant, otherwise I'll kill you, beat you. In our circumstances, we should not tolerate that. We should raise a voice against it. So abusive or an exploitative relationship where you are not growing spiritually, According to me, it's not be tolerated.
Actually, we have, just like to the Sundar Chaitan Prabhu's query, actually, when the troubles come, they are going to be there for some time, whether we do something about it or not.
Yeah.
So whether we protest it or whether we tolerate, it is going to be there.
Yeah.
So if we protest, we will not get the attention of Krishna. But if we tolerate, Krishna will like us.
Right, right, right.
So that is the like.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, thank you. Yes.
Hare Krishna Guruji, thank you for the class. Guruji, you were mentioning about tolerating with similar to like tolerate with grudges or tolerate with a happy heart, that thank you Krishna for, with that mood if we tolerate, then you know, Krishna becomes very happy and our like we also grow spiritually, as you were mentioning. So like generally we see that tolerate with some grudges in the heart. So, to start with, we'll have to start from this only, maybe. And then, slowly, slowly, we progress. So, if you can tell Guruji some tips, how to start from this end, as a sadhaka, that we are tolerating with some grudges in the heart. Maybe that grudges are there initially because we may have found some, you know, not some, you know, mismatch between our, you know, character, some natures, maybe, you know, change in natures and all. So how to actually grow from this end to that end?
Yeah, so we should know the source of our pain is not the person who is in front of us. It's our karma, administered by Krishna, who is well-wisher doctor. Because when doctor administers a medicine which is bitter or injection which is painful, we tolerate easily. In fact, we give money to doctor and say thank you also. So the cause is not the person in front of me. The cause is my karma. And the pain is administered by Krishna, not the instrument in front of me. And it's good for me. The end result is going to be my purity. The end result is going to be my cure. It's good for me. The person in front of me appears to be envious to me. But we, a devotee, should think that he is being used as an instrument of my karma by Krishna. If he is using his free will to do it, that's up to Krishna. But I should see it as an instrument. If some envious person who dislikes you comes and gives you sweet rice, you say, Krishna's mercy. Even this boy gave me sweet rice, right? But if he gives you pain, you don't say, Krishna's mercy. Say, this boy only gave, Krishna didn't want it to give. So we have to change that attitude, that whatever happens with me is sanctioned by Krishna, so I should accept it. And as I mentioned, that the limits are there. By chanting and practicing, our limits grow. So the grudge is because of the source, or because we find somebody else as the cause, or we don't find Krishna's hand in that, or we don't know the consequence. So if we understand source is my karma, or I mean cause is my karma, source is Krishna, it's his hand, and the consequence is my purity, then the grudge should go away. Right? So we should do that. And one more thing, the pain may come for a few minutes, but we waste few hours thinking about the pain. Few days, few months, few years. So let it get over, na? If I tell you a nice joke, will you laugh? After 1 minute, if I tell you the same joke, will you laugh? No, right? So if the same joke, you can't laugh twice, same event, why you have pain twice? By thinking about that event. Yesterday somebody insulted me, I had pain. Today I am thinking about it and still having pain. That's like today I am thinking about the joke and laughing again. How many days will you do that? Same joke, how many days you can laugh? Right? So why same event I think can have pain? You know, leave it. That's called healing. We should heal ourselves. Okay? Yes, Sundar Jaitra Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. We find this tolerance, the way you are talking about the limits. Generally, we find that those who are Kshatriyas, they are not in the, they are not supposed to also tolerate. Like Arjuna was not supposed to tolerate and forgive the Kauravas, and he was supposed to fight. But then Brahmana is like generally told, because that is his one of the very important behavior, that even if somebody kind of harms him. So generally in our case, because both options are equally powerful and equally, in a sense, fruitful, productive. So in our case, how we judge that, okay, now how I should behave exactly, like Kshatriya to do something substantial or just tolerate as a Brahmana and get spiritual credits?
Yeah, so a Kshatriya can tolerate more physical pain. Brahmana can tolerate less physical pain. A Kshatriya can less tolerate mental pain or insult. Brahmana can handle insult and humiliation. Point one. Point two is that we don't choose. We have a nature. We don't choose today 12 o'clock Kshatriya, 2 p.m. Brahmana. We don't choose like that. We have our nature, we will respond to it. Within the practice of our spiritual life, we learn that tolerance is a beneficial quality for my spiritual growth. So we try to do that. And as we grow in bhakti, our humility and tolerance will grow. And our nature will be accordingly. We don't choose. If at all there is a choice, if at all there is a choice at a given event, we choose tolerance. Right? So most of the time it will be just a response, natural response. So Kshatriya Brahmana is not a choice. It's not based on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's not a choice. Kshatriya is Kshatriya, Brahmana is Brahmana. It's not by choice. But we have an inherent nature. So we respond as per our nature. We follow the etiquette. In devotee circle, humility and tolerance are very important. Because nobody is Hiranyakashipu type, you know, trying to kill us, or disturb us in that. There are some minor things. We should tolerate them. Okay? Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So you very nicely explained with the example of Karela and mango that mercy is there, whether it is bitter or sweet. Even though the mercy may be bitter, but it has purifying property because it is prasad. Sometimes it becomes difficult to see good times as a mercy because it may lead to development of pride or some other negative qualities. So, how does mercy has purifying effect in that sense? It is leading us to have pride and other wrong qualities.
No, so mercy doesn't lead to pride. Our ignorance leads to pride. Suppose sannyasi comes here, says Govind Kumar and hugs you, embraces you. And he said, look, I am the most important person in this temple. He never hugged anybody else, only me. So that's ignorance. What we have to understand, he is so compassionate. He is giving his mercy. So Krishna gives mercy, that's causeless. That's not because of our eligibility and qualification. Krishna just gives. But when he gives, we don't have to consider, I am very qualified, that's why I got. I am highly eligible than others compared, that's why I got. No, no. We should never compare ourselves with others. And especially not in terms of qualification and eligibility when good time comes. The good time came to me, not to my friend, that means I am great. That's not true. It's causeless. So we should understand Krishna's mercy is causeless. I am not qualified, still I got it. I am not deserving, still I got it. Many devotees, when they see Krishna, they pray that I am not qualified, still you are in front of me. Right? So we should understand that. That is Krishna's causeless mercy. This good time is there. It's not because of my eligibility. If we think I am eligible, I am qualified as compared to others, that's why this is happening, that will lead to pride. The ignorance leads to pride. Knowledge that Krishna is everything, I am nothing, part and parcel, will not lead to pride. So we should understand it is Krishna's causeless mercy. It is not caused by my performance. By our performance nothing can happen. This is causeless. Okay? Krishna is giving me mercy not because of my Mangalarti or because of my 16 rounds or because of my attendance in Bhagavatam class or because of my book distribution or because of my preaching or because of my sincere service attitude. All this is not giving a result of good time. That's not true. Even Krishna prema is not because of all this. If you get spiritual growth, if you get spiritual advancement, if you get Krishna prema, it's not because of your chanting or Mangalarti or whatever. Because of Krishna's causeless. We can't do anything to get Krishna prema. Nothing. Suppose the sun sets in the evening, it's dark, and you want to see the sun, what will you do? Take a torch? No. When you don't have control on sun, do you think you have control on Krishna prema? No. For Krishna prema to come in our heart, we can't do anything. Nothing at all. When we cannot do anything to see the sun, what we do to see Krishna? We cannot do anything. So not a single performance of us can give us Krishna prema. So whatever happens is because of Krishna's causeless mercy. We should understand that. Time is up. There were some more hands, so that I can take after. We officially end the class. Okay? Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna.